Hey, everyone. I'm so excited to share our podcast has been nominated in Boise Weekly's annual Best of Boise contest. And while it's an honor to be nominated, I have to admit, it would be even more fun to win. If we've helped you connect to the city you love, go to the link in the show notes to vote for us by May 23rd. Thanks, Boise. Idaho is at the center of a landmark case that the U.S. Supreme Court will be hearing on Wednesday. Depending on what the justices decide, Idaho's abortion ban could change federal law. Today on CityCast Boise, we're going to break down what this case is, how it could affect healthcare in our state, and the implications the Supreme Court ruling could have on the rest of the country. It's Monday, April 22nd. I'm Lindsay Van Allen, and this is what Boise's talking about. Today, we're talking with Kelsey Mosley Morris, a national reproductive rights reporter for State's Newsroom. How are you doing, Kelsey?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. And you're someone who has extensively covered both the Idaho abortion bans and the progress of this case through the courts. So how critical is this case to the future of bodily autonomy and access to healthcare, not only here in Idaho, but across the country?
I think it honestly has been downplayed how big this case is and
really
how much of an implication it has for care that we can get in emergency rooms when it matters most. I think because of the nature of the case and the fact that it's a little bit complicated, it has to do with federal law, federalism, you know, concepts of how federal law interacts with state laws. I know there have also been Democratic attorney generals from blue states who are concerned about this because there are some states that are pretty purple, or even the ones that are blue, you know, they're saying this is a concern, especially for the blue states where, like Washington or Oregon, they're getting spillover from emergency rooms here.
Yeah, because it, you know, healthcare never just stays in one place. It does. It spills over into the states around it. We saw that with COVID. Like, you know, this has implications for a lot of different states and a lot of different people. And like you said, I do think this is confusing. And even as like a nurse, someone who's worked in healthcare, these things can be really confusing. There's a lot of complicated jargon associated with these things. And so I do kind of want to break down a little bit that the issue at stake is how the Idaho abortion ban conflicts with EMTALA. EMTALA stands for the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act. It's a federal law. It was passed in the 1980s. Actually, ironically enough, after a pregnant woman in Texas who was having a pregnancy-related health emergency had to go to the ER for treatment. This woman was uninsured. And the emergency room actually sent her to another facility 2 hours away without any stabilizing treatment. This was kind of a common practice back in the day. It was called patient dumping, where hospitals would transfer patients without treatment if they thought the patient couldn't pay. So this federal law, EMTALA, got rid of that. It now requires that hospitals with emergency departments who accept Medicare funding have to treat you even if you're uninsured and unable to pay for treatment. And hospitals have to provide treatment to protect your health and your life, again, regardless of your ability to pay. And if the hospital isn't equipped to give you the care that you need, then they have to stabilize you before transferring you to another facility. Kelsey, I hit all the points correctly, right?
Yes. And as far as how that interplays with the law here, they're saying sometimes the stabilizing treatment that you need is the termination of your pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And that especially comes into play if your pregnancy is not viable yet. So that's where the conflict comes in, is emergency room physicians are saying, I need to be able to stabilize this patient who's having high blood pressure issues or something that is threatening their health, potentially their life. And they're saying, this state law, I need to know that I'm not going to be prosecuted for taking this action. And if you are potentially criminalizing that activity in an emergency room, then you are potentially violating this federal law that says you should be getting this care. you shouldn't have to be transported out of state to be able to get it. Mm-hmm. And that is currently a lot of what's happening, is people are being sent to other hospitals in other states because there's no protection here.
Can you explain a couple of situations for people who might be less familiar with this kind of care and what this involves? What are some situations where a doctor might need to perform an abortion to stabilize a patient or protect their health?
So one of the most common ones is called PPROM, which is the preterm premature rupture of membranes. And that means your water breaks before your baby is at term, considered at term, which at term means 36 weeks and above. And that means that you don't have that plug there anymore to stop labor from happening. And when that happens, you are at great risk for infection that can quickly turn pretty bad. And in those cases, if you are before a certain number of weeks that the hospital can try to intervene and save a fetus, then you are ending a pregnancy, basically. If you're saying, mm-hmm. I have to deliver this baby to prevent this infection and it's not going to survive, then that can technically be considered an abortion. You also have people who come in with molar pregnancies that they hadn't caught, which are pregnancies that implant outside of the uterus and that are not viable anyway. But some people don't know about them until they're in a really serious position. But there are also situations where people can have preeclampsia, which is a very serious high blood pressure issue that can sometimes lead to something called HELLP syndrome, which is, has to do with your liver failure.
Yeah, it affects your liver and platelets. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really serious. And if you are not at a certain point of your pregnancy, that means that you won't have a viable pregnancy anymore. And these are extremely sad situations for people who mm-hmm. presumably have wanted pregnancies that have gone terribly wrong. And they're not good situations for anybody involved.
So currently, the Idaho abortion bans are in full effect. So basically, we don't have these EMTALA protections in Idaho right now. So what is happening for these patients since doctors can't perform abortions to protect their health or stabilize them? Like, let's say I'm pregnant and I start hemorrhaging, or my water breaks way too early and I need to go to the ER today. What can I expect?
One of the things that doctors have talked about is that delay, because often when they're presented with those situations, they have to go consult their legal department. They have to go consult upper level people in the hospital administration to say, what should I do here? What do you think is protected here? And they have to they've talked about how they have to do a lot more documentation of things, and that takes more time. That takes more of their attention away from helping you. And it just results in more delays versus they might have been able to act more quickly before this came into effect. And that's the case even in clinics versus ERs. And so it becomes a much more urgent situation if you're in the ER and you're hemorrhaging. But, you know, I think some people have gone a little bit far and said that the ER is just going to let you die. That is not the case. They will provide you care to stabilize you and make sure that you are safe. But if you require termination, they may have to send you out of state, or they may have to say, we're going to stabilize you, get the bleeding to stop, and then we're going to wait until the fetus doesn't have heartbeat anymore, or something along those lines. We have to send you home until that resolves itself, and then you can come back if there's worse complication or you're doing worse, you know. So situations where they might not have otherwise done that are going to come up more often.
Yeah, it really sounds like what we're facing is, one, the doctors and providers can't use all of the evidence-based tools that they would normally be able to use, and that you're just having to wait. Like, in this very difficult situation, you're having an emergency. You're in the emergency room, and you're having to wait for not your doctor to make a decision, but a lawyer to make a decision. Yeah. And that is not a comfortable or a safe feeling, in my mind, for a patient who is having an emergency.
Yeah, it's a scary scenario. And it's something, as a pregnant person myself, that I have thought about happening, where I picture someone sitting there for hours and hours just waiting for answers. and, you know, you might not be bleeding anymore, but you don't have any answers as to what's happening next.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to be thinking about.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So another thing that I really want to hit on with EMTALA is this idea of transferring. And I don't think people always know what that means or what that entails or how common that is in healthcare. And so if you live in a more rural area and you have a very serious condition, a lot of times you do have to be transferred to Boise, or even people in Boise have to be transferred to Seattle, somewhere where you have more access to resources and high acuity care. And so they want to get you as stable as possible before they transfer you, because transferring is really hard on you, especially if you're having an emergency. And so there are a wide array of things that they can do to stabilize you, that they'll want to do to stabilize you. But currently, because of the Idaho abortion ban being in full effect, an abortion is not one of the things that they can do to stabilize you. So how is this affecting ER physicians and providers' ability to stabilize their patients effectively?
I think for a lot of them, it's a case of getting you to a certain point of stabilization. You know, I can't speak for them entirely on this matter, but It sounds like they can go up to the point of termination and get you to as far as they can and then transfer you somewhere else. I think Salt Lake has been a popular destination, and they also have health exceptions, which we do not in their law. And so that is one of the reasons why providers here have said we really need a health exception in our laws, because that would make it more clear about when I can intervene in these cases. And in absence of that, you know, I think they're going to do everything they can for you, but it's going to be a case of them protecting themselves as well, and the hospital protecting itself. I think it's fair to say that everybody is going to be operating as much as they can for you, but they have to be looking out for their licenses and their ability to treat future patients.
Yeah, and not go to jail.
They're also at risk of being sued civilly for things under Idaho's civil enforcement law. So even if nothing criminal occurs, they still have to think about being able to be sued by any family members who decide to come after them for something. So there's just a lot that they have to be considering in conjunction with your health and those outcomes.
Yeah. So even if you wanted the treatment, wanted them to do the treatment, but your, you know, Uncle Jim doesn't approve of what they did, they're still at risk.
Correct.
So what are the potential rulings in this case, and what would they mean for Idaho?
So the justices will decide ultimately if federal law preempts state law in these scenarios. And they will decide, you know, the concept of federalism is usually that federal law overtakes state law when the two are in conflict. So that will be what they ultimately determine here. And if they don't uphold the idea that federal law trumps state law, then ER doctors here will continue to be subject to Idaho's felony laws for performing an abortion, even in emergency scenarios. So that will mean that we are just set up in this current reality, unless and until something changes at the state level.
So could the Idaho abortion ban, or the part of the Idaho abortion ban that conflicts with EMTALA, potentially be overturned by the Supreme Court?
So I would not phrase it as any part of Idaho's abortion ban being overturned.
Okay.
Regardless of how this turns out, Idaho's abortion ban will still be in effect, and you will still not be able to access abortion at any time in your pregnancy as an elective procedure. So if you just want to end your pregnancy early or, you know, before 12 weeks, like you usually can by medication, you would have to obtain pills from out of state to be able to do that. If you had some kind of health complication that wasn't an emergency, or if you had, you know, some fetal abnormalities, you would still have to go out of state to get that care. You're not going to have any more abortion providers here than you would normally.
Okay.
This will only say that if you had to go to the emergency room for any kind of potentially severe complication and you were looking at very serious outcomes potentially with your pregnancy, you would be able to get that care in an emergency room in that situation. So it would still be very limited as an exception goes, but everything else would still stand.
Okay. And how could the outcome of this case potentially impact the enforcement of EMTALA nationwide?
If they decide that EMTALA does not preempt state law, that means that potentially in at least 14 states that have an abortion ban, almost 15 if you count Arizona, that's coming soon, you would potentially have case law now to say that in those emergency situations in those states, they don't have to treat you either, and they are subject to the same types of penalties that are often worse than the ones that are presented here for physicians. I think up in Tennessee, I think it's up to 99 years in prison, or, you know, I think Alabama's the same way. It's like, you know, life sentences type deals. And the fines are very high. The license revocation is still there as a possibility. And at least Texas, and I think others, do have a civil enforcement penalty as well. So in all those states, you'd potentially have more risk now in an ER situation. And like we said earlier, that would potentially have implications for states that are nearby to those states where people might be getting sent more often out of state, particularly in places that are more rural.
Yeah. So really, as someone who is pregnant in this country, your access to EMTALA, depending on the ruling of this case, could really depend on what state you're in at any given moment.
Correct.
Wow. Is there any indication of how the Supreme Court is going to rule? Have they said anything or indicated any way that they might be leaning?
I think something that I flagged when they took the case was the fact that they did not keep the district court's injunction in place while this case was pending.
What does that mean?
So at the district court level, which is the state court that handles federal cases with federal questions at the center of them, that court decided to put a stay on Idaho's abortion ban as it applies to ER care. So that means they could not enforce Idaho's abortion law against ER doctors who acted in emergency situations. So that injunction stayed in place until the Ninth Circuit took it up. There was a little panel of Ninth Circuit judges who threw it out for like 2 weeks. And then the full Ninth Circuit was going to reconsider it again. And they were going to, presumably when they take a case again like that, it means they thought that the three-judge panel made the wrong decision. But the Supreme Court took it over before they had a chance to rule. And so that injunction that was in place from the district court was thrown out by SCOTUS when they decided to take the case. And they didn't have to do that. They could have left the stay in place while they decided the outcome of this. So that to me is a little bit of a red flag of how they feel about this issue. And the fact that Justice Barrett brought up the conscience objections during arguments about mifepristone. They brought up emergency situations a couple times during that argument. Makes me feel like this may not go in the favor of federal law preempting state law. So if I had to guess, that might be how this goes based on what I've seen so far.
Thank you so much, Kelsey. Thank you for sharing all of your insight and expertise on this issue with us.
Thank you. It was good to talk to you.
That's all for today here on CityCast Boise. If you enjoyed the show, you should tell a friend about us. We'll be back tomorrow morning to rank the best parks in Boise. You won't want to miss it.